Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The purpose of every church and every child of God is to worship, pray, serve, and live for the glory of Jesus Christ. Today's passage is a divine revelation and recognition of the slain Lamb, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. Anyone that truly sees the slain Lamb cannot help but worship Him. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, and follow along with Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his final message in his Advent series entitled, Why the Incarnation.
And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. And we say, Amen. Amen. I've said it many times in the past, and I'll say it again this Christmas Eve morning, when we get to heaven, you know the rest of the line, we're finally going to see what eyes were made for. We're finally going to hear what ears were made for. We're finally going to realize what our tongues were made for. When you study the heavenly scene, you realize that heaven is not the place where much is made of man. Contrary to the malls, paradise is not going to be a hall of mirrors. Heaven's going to be a place of majesty, and it won't be ours. Our Christmas theme, for those of you who have been with us this month or visiting us for the first time today, and again, we welcome you, was why the incarnation? What does the book of Revelation have to do with the birth of Christ? Everything. Because the book of Revelation reveals to us the ultimate purpose of the incarnation, and that's the glorification of Jesus Christ in heaven. Earlier in Revelation, in chapter 5, verse 2, a question is asked by a strong angel, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And there's a sense of hush over the inability of no man being able to open the book and loose the seven seals. And then in verse 4, John is weeping over this failure to find a man able to open the book. And that's where we pick up this morning in verse 5. One of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, messianic title, has prevailed. He's overcome. He's conquered to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David. Two titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are here this morning because Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David, has prevailed. Because Jesus has prevailed on the cross, and because he has risen from the dead, he is the only one who is worthy to open the scroll which reveals God's purpose. What's the significance of Jesus being the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Well, back in Genesis chapter 49, we read, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. There in Genesis chapter 49, the patriarch Jacob calls his 12 sons together to pronounce a blessing upon them. And as he comes to Judah, Jacob likens him to a lion's whelp. And then he says that power and authority, or the scepter, would be until the coming of the Messiah. Fast forward history to the springtime of the year 12 AD. The Roman government issued a decree declaring that the Jewish people would no longer be able to carry out capital punishment. And the rabbi's response to the decree was immediate, because they believed that capital punishment was one of the cornerstones of government as defined in the Noahic covenant. And when they were denied that fundamental right of government, the rabbis rushed into the streets of Jerusalem, rending their clothes, smiting their breasts. We're told that the whole city was filled with the wailing of rabbis because they interpreted that decree to mean that the authority was gone, the scepter had departed, and the Messiah had not yet arrived. So they thought. Because on that very day, guess who was sitting in the temple as a 12-year-old boy, confounding the scribes and thinkers of the day? Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's an incredible meaning in that event for you and me today. How often do we find ourselves like those rabbis, throwing our arms in the air and crying, Lord Jesus, where are you? None of you. But the guy with the microphone, I've said that many times. Beloved, as a child of God, you may not feel that the presence of the Lord is with you this morning. And that might be overshadowed by dire circumstances. As many as there are people here are watching online. But know this. Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, gave us a promise. He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. And he is there with you always. Do you believe that? He is Emmanuel, who's with you. What's the significance of Jesus being the root of David? Well, it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born of the house and lineage of David. But it was also prophesied in Psalm 110 that the Messiah would be David's Lord. King David declared in Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And here we see how King David refers to his son as his Lord. Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, descended from David, but is greater than David because Jesus Christ is David's Lord. At the end of this book, Revelation 22, verse 16, Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David. Jesus Christ is the source. He's the root of David's life and the line of descendants, which establishes his deity. He's not only man, he is fully God, the God-man who has prevailed. What does it mean that he's prevailed? How practical is that for you and me? Well, according to the Bible, it means that Jesus Christ has already won the battle over sin and death. It means that the debt of sin has been forever settled. It's over. It's finished. He won. It also means that he defeated the enemy on the cross. He defeated him on the cross. He defeated him when he rose again from the dead, the victory is his. And from God's point of view, Satan is already defeated. And according to God's word, you and I who are in Christ are already in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And because Jesus has prevailed, he said in Caesarea Philippi, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We prevail because Christ has prevailed. We've already seen that one of the purposes of Jesus coming was to destroy the works of the devil. God didn't send his son to destroy you. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And the cross of Calvary is the greatest demonstration of the love of God for fallen man. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." And John sees in heaven a pierced lamb. Could it be that the only one throughout all eternity that will have an imperfect, not referring to sin, body will be the Lamb of God, forever to remind us of how we are redeemed? Jesus prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. You know what's going to happen when Jesus opens the book? Well, let's take a quick review of tomorrow's newspapers and headlines. When Jesus opens the seven seals, they're going to bring forth various judgments on the earth that are described as the wrath of the Lamb. The seals, the trumpets, the bowls collectively describe the end time catastrophes that are going to come upon the earth in the last days before the second coming of Jesus Christ to set up his millennial kingdom on earth. Please do not let any alleged prophet tell you that the focus of the end time scenario revolves around the next election in the United States. When John sees Jesus Christ, he is in his exalted position. He is in sovereign control of all the events that take place on planet Earth. Know this, beloved, nothing that happens on planet Earth is less to either chance or coincidence in God's universe. And this scene in heaven confirms the truth that is repeated countless times in the scripture. It's recorded for our comfort. And it is the truth that every single soul in this sanctuary needs to hide in the depths of our hearts and of our souls. And it's this: no matter what is going on in your life, in the world, and our nation, no matter what appears to be happening according to the eyes of the natural man, our King Jesus Christ is seated on the throne of the universe. Nothing escapes his gaze. While the world seems to be falling apart, he holds the scroll. While nations are warring against one another, he holds the scroll. While terrorism is running apart, he holds the scroll. As the future of America seems to be decaying, he holds the scroll. No doubt a few of you may be going through perplexing circumstances or time of sadness in your life today, and the Lord knows that. But never doubt this: the Lamb holds the scroll. He is in ultimate authority. Verse 6, "Beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb," 29 times. There's reference to the Lamb in the book of Revelation, "as it had been slain." Amazing. The God who deserves the worship of every person on our planet, in the history of our planet, was killed. Why? He was killed because he was born to be a lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Precious saints, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain on Calvary's cross, and he's conquered death. And he's standing in the midst of the throne. He's standing in the midst of the elders. And he tells John in Revelation chapter 1 that he stands in the midst of his church. He's here with us this morning. The saving, redeeming, scroll-holding Lamb of God. We thank God that he hung on the cross, but he's not on the cross any longer. He was buried. He's risen. He is exalted. And he's a very present help this morning. I want us to note this morning that in this heavenly scene, the central figure of the heavenly scene is Jesus Christ. He's the central figure. The glorified Jesus is the focal point of heaven, the center of all attention. This heavenly scene, I believe, is a key to walking by faith and having peace in this crazy world. If you want to have peace and walk by faith, don't believe that the world revolves around you. Just like the planets revolve around the sun, let your life, let our lives and every part of it revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. Devote every area of your life to Christ, His will, His kingdom. That's why we were created. That's why we were redeemed. We learn in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or are held together. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. We were created by Jesus and for Jesus and for His good pleasure. And it's Jesus who holds us together, every aspect of our life. And He's exalted that He might not only be prominent, but preeminent in our life. John has this incredible vision of the Lord in glory. And he sees the seven spirits of God symbolized by seven horns and seven eyes that speak of authority, speak of eyes speaking of His knowledge. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through all the earth. He's looking at every soul in this sanctuary today. He's looking at every heart watching online. Jesus Christ is the one from whom nobody can escape. You may run from Him on earth, but you're going to see Him one day, face to face. The seven spirits of God. We read at the end of Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that is athirst say, come, and let him that hears come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That's the invitation that the Lord gives to you this morning, my friend. Come to Jesus. Take of the water of life freely. It's free because the Lamb paid the price. So He takes the book out of the right hand of Him that sits upon the throne. That's His Father. 39 times there's a reference to the throne of God in the Revelation. God's throne is mentioned because God wants us to know what we often forget. He rules. He reigns, not man. Our God rules and reigns. And God's ultimate plan for history of mankind on planet Earth centers around Jesus opening the book. Now watch what happens. When He takes the book, four beasts and 24 elders fall down before the Lamb. They fall down. They have these harps and golden vials, which are the prayers of the saints, falling down before the Lamb here in heaven. That's because Jesus Christ is both Lord and God. And there's harps. There's going to be music in heaven. The kind of music God intended for us to listen to. The kind of music that He intended for us to be singing. Psalm 33, verse 2 says, praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Psalm 98, verse 5 says, sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm. One commentator says, heaven is revealed to earth as the homeland of music. Yeah. It is. Not Nashville. Not Hollywood. Heaven. The homeland of music. God created music. All the notes and all the beauty of music comes from Him and was created to bring Him glory. And speaking about the fact that our God created music, it was Bach who said all music should be for the glory of God and for the refreshment of the human soul. And then this golden vial full of odors, what's that? Well, that's prayers. That's your prayers. That's my prayers. Because of Christ's sacrifice for us, you and I who know him as our Lord and Savior and know Father as God, when we pray, we're talking to the King of the universe. We're talking to the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Bible says in Psalm 141, verse 2, let my prayer be set before thee as incense. Revelation 8, 3 says, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. When you prayed this morning, when you're praying right now, when you're praying, when you're driving your car, when you're praying, that's incense that goes up before God. It's pleasing to him. A little bit of encouragement to you who are praying prayers and saying, but God's not answering yet. You know, there's many answers. We just think yes is an answer. Sometimes no is an answer. Sometimes wait is an answer. Sometimes my grace is sufficient as an answer. But for some reason, when I was preparing this, I thought of when the angel appeared to Zacharias, John the Baptizer's father, saying, your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth is going to conceive. Now, he's old now. She's old. And he's probably thinking, what? Now? Your prayer is being heard. You know how long that must have been? Your prayer is being heard. Even prayers that we forget about are still in God's inbox. I believe that every single one of the blessings in our lives are answers to prayers that either we or somebody else prayed for us. I'm also convinced that some of the prayers that you and I are praying are going to outlive our earthly lives. I also believe that you and I are here this morning as a part of the prayers that were answered to the first saints who worshiped in this building back in 1901. When you and I pray, beloved, we're talking to the great physician of both bodies and souls, the wonderful counselor who will never lead us in the wrong direction, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Why would you go to anyone else and pay them for counsel? It's beyond me. And so now, all heaven breaks loose. We read in the news about all hell breaking loose. How about a little bit of what's going on in heaven right now? Could you use a little bit of that? You're not going to hear it on the evening news, but we're going to rehear. They sing a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain, or you became a sacrifice for us, and have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. In the days of the Apostle John, the Roman emperors were celebrated upon their arrival with the Latin expression, iere dignus, which means you are worthy. But in heaven's court, there's one who is worthy. There's one who is worthy. The Savior of our souls, the Lamb of God. Here, the true ruler of the universe is honored with the words, you are worthy. In Revelation 4:11, the emphasis is on God's work of creation. Here, the emphasis is on his work of redemption. It's the redeemed that sing, and they sing a new song. It's a song of redemption. You have redeemed, past tense. It's a done deal, beloved. You have been redeemed. How? To God. By whom? By Christ. Through which agency? By his blood. By the blood of Christ, we have been redeemed. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.